Good morning. Prayer is always an interesting topic to teach on, because in a room like this with this many people, the experience with prayer is so varied. Some of us maybe have very limited experience with prayer, maybe little to none. Others, maybe we pray regularly, and how we pray and when we pray and what that looks like, it all looks so different depending on who we are and how God's wired us. And even our perspective on what we think with regards to the effectiveness of prayer varies. And our experiences that we've had with how God has, or maybe in our opinion, hasn't answered prayers the way we thought or would have liked. Some of us, we've had experiences where we've prayed and we've asked God for something, and God has miraculously shown up and done amazing things. And often in the church, we love to give people an opportunity to share those testimonies, and those testimonies are so encouraging when we hear them. But the flip side of that is that we have also had people who have prayed just as earnestly for something. They've desired it. They've asked of God. They've pressed into prayer. And they've never received what they asked. They never got out of that difficult situation. And so we're kind of left with this sense of tension. Like, on the one hand, over here, there's all these amazing stories that make us think, wow, prayer is incredible. It's so powerful and effective. And over here, we have all these other stories that make you go, like, what's the point? I don't see the effectiveness. I just see someone who's prayed and prayed and never seen the answers they were looking for. And so it's tricky. And many of us, if we follow Jesus for any length of time, we probably have experiences on both sides. We probably have experiences where we've had good things and positive things in prayer where we're excited, and we've probably had things on the opposite side where we've had negative experiences and we haven't got the answers that we had hoped for. And so with this in mind, it's with this whole idea of prayer and how complicated it can be and how varied experiences are, we want to launch into this morning this story about... Melissa, I think you're trying to help me out on something. What's going on? Oh, okay. All right. Awesome. Got people looking out for me. All right, so we have varied experiences, and it's into this that we have this story. And Jesus, in this case, the author Luke, he tells us the reason that Jesus tells this story before we actually hear the story. And it's found in Luke chapter 18, if you want to follow along in your Bible, whether it's on your phone or you have a hard copy or however you want to do it, or you want to follow on the screen, it'll be there for you. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So there we go. We already have the moral of the story that Jesus is about to tell, to pray and not give up. So he says, in a town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought of him. And there was a widow. And widows in those days, as far as power goes, had little to none. It says, in that town, who kept coming to him with this plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time, he refused. I mean, it's a widow. I mean, she doesn't have much power. I don't really care what she thinks. Why should I give it to her? It says, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Other versions say so that she won't wear me out. She's so annoying, I'll just give it to her so that she leaves me alone. And so there's this idea that even though this judge, even though he doesn't care about what God thinks of him, even though he doesn't care about what people think of him, he still is going to give this woman justice because she just is so relentless. And for us, maybe this idea of this widow and a judge, maybe that doesn't resonate in our culture. And so there's another instance that I've seen in my life, and maybe you have in yours, of another situation where someone can be relentless, and it looks a little bit like this.
Can I please, Daddy? I don't want any more toys ever. Ever. I am really serious. So just get me that $50 one, okay? And I'll spend the $7 and something cents for it. And you can spend the rest. And that's the last toy ever. I'm serious. I am serious, okay? Can you please buy it at the place, Daddy?
Right? When kids get it in their mind that something should be a certain way or they should have a certain thing, they are sometimes relentless. They do not give up easy. And maybe if you're a parent here this morning, you've been there. And maybe even if they just keep persisting and persisting, and maybe you don't normally like to give in, but maybe there's moments, if you're honest, where you have, because you're just like, I can't deal with this anymore. Right? But the thing is that sometimes as a parent, you also say no, don't you? Because here's the thing about a child only has so much perspective on any given situation. And as a parent, we often have more perspective, don't we? Like the kid in the video, he's like, come on, it's only $50, it's not a big deal, you know? But as a parent, you go, yeah, but I also have the mortgage and the car payment and I have this and this. And maybe you know that the $50 thing that the kid really wants would actually be really bad for him, be harmful. It wouldn't turn out the way that the kid hoped it would if he got the $50 thing. And so sometimes, as a parent, your perspective is greater. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we continue on in the parable. It said, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. Now here's the interesting thing about this passage. At the beginning, it says that the story is to teach us to pray and not give up. But then in this part, Jesus says that they will get justice and they'll get it quickly. It kind of makes you go, well, which one is it, Jesus? Which one is it, God? Like, why would we have to pray and not give up if we get it quickly? Like, they seem to be contrasting one another a little bit here. Like, and I think that it's even more difficult for us to comprehend in our society because we live in such an on-demand society where we want it and we want it now. At the click of a button, we can order something and it will come right to our door. At the click of a button, I can watch any different type of movie and show and I can get what I want when I want it so often in our culture. And in fact, sometimes right now doesn't even seem like fast enough. I wanted it 5 minutes ago, right? And so in this society where patience isn't a high value and getting things and getting them now is a stronger value of our culture, it gets even harder to think of this idea of being patient for something and to keep praying for something and not giving up. But the reality is that we see in this passage is that God wants what's best for his people. He wants to give them justice. He wants things to be the way that they should be. He doesn't want them to face hardship and persecution and all this. And one day, God will make all things right again. But there's something else, I think, that we need to understand when we see the word quickly is this: God's timing is not our timing. See, we as human beings, when it comes to time, for the most part, we live in the here and now, don't we? Like even as we're in this building, we have very little perspective on what's going on elsewhere in Prince George, even, or the province, or the country, or the world. We have this limited perspective, and we can only remember limited parts of what's happened in the past, and we only have hopes and desires for the future, but we have no idea what's actually going to happen. And yet God, whose spirit, who lives outside of time and space, he's not constrained by them. He enters into our world, and yet he exists outside of time and space as well. And God, at the same time, can see before the creation of the world all the way to when Jesus will return again and beyond. He's not limited by only seeing what's happening now in this moment. And so he has this greater perspective. Time is a little bit different for him. 2 Peter describes it this way. It says this: "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day." Time doesn't much matter in the same way that it does to us, to God. It's not the same to him. Because I, for one, do not think I would probably ever see 1,000 years, let alone think 1,000 years is like a day. I'll be lucky to see 100 years. And so it's perspective of God is different. And then the verse goes on and it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And so there's more going on here, isn't there? See, we, when it comes to us being wronged and us facing hardship, we want justice, and we want justice now. We want whoever wronged us to pay for what they've done. But there's an interesting thing that happens. When we're the one who's in the wrong, we're not so keen on justice. We'd rather have mercy. We'd rather have grace. We want God to forgive and be lenient with us. And this is part of God's nature. On one hand, he's just and he wants all things to be right and the way that they should be, and one day he will make it so. But on the other hand, he's so compassionate and loving and patient. He wants all people to come into relationship with him, and he wants all people to live in a way that reflects kingdom values that he's set forth. And so, again, there's this tension of we want our justice and we want things the way we think they should be, but our perspective is so small and so limited. There's a bigger picture that we don't always see. And so this morning, I'm not going to pretend like I understand why sometimes when we pray for one person, they're healed, and other times when we pray for another person, they aren't healed and they pass away. I mean, I remember a time in my previous church that I was a pastor at. I remember a time when there was this one woman in our church and we prayed for her. She had cancer and it wasn't looking good. And we prayed and we prayed. And miraculously, she was healed of her cancer. And we were like so excited and we were praising God. And we were excited and she was an amazing young woman, and a few years down the road, she got cancer again. And we thought, no problem. We prayed the first time, and she was healed. We'll just press into praying for her again and trust God to heal her. But this time, she wasn't healed, and she passed away, leaving behind a teenage daughter. And I can't say that I understand why one time she was healed and the other time she wasn't. I can't say that I understand why sometimes we get the answer we're seeking and sometimes we don't. Why sometimes people who are facing oppression and persecution in our world, they ask God, they beg God to somehow free them from that. And yet, they might live their whole life in that oppression. Where in another situation, God provides a way for them to gain freedom and to get out from that difficult, oppressive situation. I don't understand it all. I have a finite mind like you. I don't grasp all there is to grasp about how God operates, about the bigger picture. But I do know this, that as I've pressed into God with prayer, whether or not I've got the answer I desired or not, I find that my dependency on God grows and I grow closer in relationship to Him. And to me, it started to beg the question that I started to wrestle with was this, is that, is prayer really about bending God's will to ours? About getting God to do what we want? Or is it really about us coming into line with God's will? Because the interesting thing about Jesus, when he taught his followers to pray, one of the things he says in his prayer is not my will be done, but yours. And Jesus, when he's about to face the cross, to have this torturous death, he says, God, if there's any way that it can happen another way, but not my will, but yours be done. And it was in that moment of suffering and persecution that Jesus ends up saving the world and conquers death by rising again. And so I don't claim to always understand the full picture of everything, and why sometimes we face suffering and sometimes we get relief, why sometimes we long for something and we ask for it and we get what we want, and other times we don't. Because I don't always see the big picture, but I've learned to trust and to walk with God in it. So my question for you this morning is simply this. What has God put on your heart that you need to persistently pray for? What kind of longings has God put on your heart? What do you feel like you need to press in and pray for and not give up and just keep praying for it? What has God laid on your heart? My former youth leader, when I was a teenager, she loved to tell a story about how she prayed for her mom. And she prayed for her mom and prayed for her mom, and she ended up praying for her mom for 20 years. And then one day, her mom accepted Jesus and came into relationship with him. And she was so excited about that. And it always made me think as a teenager, would I have prayed for 20 years? Or would I have given up long before that? And so what has God put on your heart that you need to persistently pray for? One of the things that God has put on my heart right now that I feel called to press in and to pray for and to not give up on is I'm praying for to see revival in our city. I'm praying that God would move in such a powerful way through the power of His Holy Spirit and through using His church in this city, that we would see many people in Prince George come to know Jesus, and this city would start more and more to reflect God's kingdom values instead of being known for things like being one of the most dangerous cities in the country to live in. So that's what I've been praying for. I've been praying for that since January. I try to pray every day about it. But I'll be honest with you, I'm human and I don't always succeed. But I try to at least pray about this 4 or 5 times a week if I can, because I just believe God is calling me to persistently pray for this. And I don't know when this will happen. I don't know whether it could happen this year and that would be so exciting and amazing. Or maybe my story is more like another gentleman I heard about who was in China. And he served this people group for 20 years, praying, asking for people in those villages to come to know Jesus. And he prayed and he prayed and prayed. And he loved on these people and he served these people. And he, in those 20 years, he maybe saw, you know, maybe 1 or 2 people come to know Jesus, come into relationship with them. And I'm sure it was very discouraging for him. And then all of a sudden, this other group of people came in, and they started sharing with people. And all of a sudden, entire villages in that area started accepting Jesus. And there was like this massive revival. And this man had been praying for 20 years, and yet he didn't end up being the one that played, that got the final role of seeing all the people come to him. But he was such a pivotal part of it nonetheless. And so I don't know how God will work in this situation. But I would ask you, would you as a church, would you start begin to pray for this too? Would you begin to pray for this? And would you begin to press in to pray for whatever God has laid on your heart and not give up? Because the interesting thing about this parable is after this parable, Jesus ends with this question. He says, when the Son of Man comes, he's referring to himself, will he find faith on the earth? What a fascinating way to end a story. He says, if God is this way and he wants to give justice to his people and he wants what's best for his people, he says, in the end, will people have this kind of persistent faith where they will pray and they will not give up? They will not give up even in the face of hardship and difficulty. Because when Jesus spoke this passage to his, when he told this story to his disciples, it was not long before he went to face the cross, and he knew that his disciples were about to face a very difficult time where they would be persecuted and they would be mistreated for following Jesus. He knew that, and so he was encouraging them to pray and to not give up and to continue in their faith and to continue in their trust in him even when things got hard. And so the question that I want to leave you to think about is this. Will you persist in waiting on God in faith? Will you continue to trust him even when things aren't going the way you hoped they would? Because it's difficult. It's easy when things are hard and in our prayer life we don't see the results we'd hope for. It's easy to walk away. It's easy to give up on prayer. It's easy to give up on our faith. But God, Jesus is asking us, would you just persist in it? Would you just persevere in it? Eventually, I will make all things right. And I don't know in your situation if you'll see that in this life or in the next. I can't tell you. But will you persist? Will you continue to wait on God in faith, whatever life might throw at you? Because if you do, whatever you might face, I can tell you, it'll be worth it in the end. As the worship team comes, if you this morning, you just had, God has laid something on your heart and you just sense in this moment, you just need to take some time to just spend some time in prayer with God, you feel free to have the freedom. As people rise to sing, you feel free to have the freedom to just sit and spend time with God and pray. Feel free to do that. You're welcome to do that. If you want to pray with someone, feel free to come up front and I'll just be sitting in the chair and I'd love to pray with you. Or grab somebody around you that you think that you know that and maybe ask them if you could pray together. And let's just take time to care for one another and to pray for one another and to worship God together.